You didn't know you were dancers, did you? What a day, what a reality that we celebrate today and every day. Death was arrested. The effects of the curse have been reversed. You know, we don't just celebrate days like Resurrection Day out of religious exercise. Because of the reality of what Christ has done in our lives. He has given us life. Life is a big word, isn't it? Life is a word that we use in a lot of different contexts. We talk about life. It can refer to a breakfast cereal. Anybody remember Life cereal? Mikey liked it. I still like it. Sometimes we refer to life as a magazine that people read for decades. Life is something that scientists study and search for on other planets. Sometimes we refer to life as a prison sentence. When somebody has done a particularly horrible crime, they might get a sentence of life. But for most of us, life, it's simply what we live. It's existence. It's the human experience. Thank you for turning those on, by the way. That's the first time the AC's been on all winter. This is wonderful. Spring is officially here. Right on. Life, it's the human experience. Now, life begins at human conception. That's when human life begins. It continues through birth and infancy and childhood, continues through adolescence and adulthood and old age. And after life comes physical death. Some people think that physical death is when everything stops. They believe that when the human lungs stop pumping air, when the heart stops beating, that human life ceases, that you no longer cease to exist. That's what some people think, and that's what's true of physical death. But the Bible teaches something beyond physical death. The Bible teaches that physical death is not where everything stops. The Bible teaches that you and I are all eternal creatures. We were created to live forever in some state of existence. And so when we talk about death in the fullest sense, death is not just the stopping and the cessation of life. Death is the eternal conscious separation from God. That's kind of scary, isn't it? That's kind of ominous sounding. Eternal conscious separation from God. Familiar Bible verse to a lot of you. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. Insert our definition of death into that verse. The wages of sin is eternal, conscious separation from God. Death is being eternally, consciously separated from everything good, everything of joy, everything of peace, everything of light, being eternally separated from that consciously. That's what death is in the fullest sense. And today we celebrate what God did to overcome death in our life. Today we celebrate Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life. Now, how many of you kids are in Powerhouse usually on Sundays? Okay, you guys, I'm thankful you guys are here today. You're being so good. Do you guys want to help me out play a game up front here? You want to just sit down on the floor here? You don't have to do anything strange. You can just sit down on the floor here. Thank you, Caden. Right on. Come on, join Caden. I need some help here. We're going to play a game. How many of you played Hangman before? Anybody ever played Hangman? Okay, we're going to play a game that I call Crossman, okay? Crossman, all right? Yeah, because instead of a hangman's gallows, we're going to draw a cross, all right? So I got a five-letter word that I want you guys to help me figure out what the word is. So I want you to raise your hand and guess a letter. What letter do you think, Mary Jane? Just give me a letter. A J? No, I'm sorry, not a J. So for cross man, so we got to put a nail. Okay? How about another? Whoa, how about another guess? Another letter guess. Caden, do you have a guess? C? No C's. No. No C's. So we're going to put another nail. Sorry. Okay, how about another guess? Man, I'm going to kill myself here. Aiden, did you want to guess a letter?
B.
B. That's an awesome guess, but there's no B's in my word. I'm sorry. So we're going to put another nail down here. It's a little harder word than you thought, didn't you? Who else? Who wants to make a guess of a word? Bailey, did you want to guess a letter?
K.
That is an awesome guess, but there's no K in my word. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we've got three nails. Okay, we're going to put a sign. We're going to put a sign here, and that sign says King. Okay? What's that? That's right, Caden. The sign actually said King of the... They wanted it to say King of the Jews, isn't it? King of the Jews. Let's guess a letter. Joey, do you have a guess? D? No D's. No D's. Okay, so we're going to have a cross piece. Oh, no. It's getting fuller. It's getting fuller. Aaron, do you have a guess? What's that? There is an E! Yes! There is an E! Okay, there is an E. All right. Did you have a guess? What letter do you want to guess? There's no G. We're going to give you a few more chances. No G's. Who else want to guess? Who guessed earlier? Tammy, did you want to guess a letter? What letter do you want to guess? What's that?
J.
No J. There's no J. Did you want to guess one, Mary Jane? Yes. R. R. Yes, R. R, yes, there's an R. Okay. I know.
You forgot to put on the other thing.
What's that? I know, but I don't want the game to end yet. See, one more step and the game's over. I got to draw. Well, do I have to draw Jesus on here? Really? Let's get one more letter guess. Aaron, what's your guess, huh? S. There is an S in here. Okay, there's an S. Hold on, I'm going to get this nail out of the way here, because that's no good. I'll get the nail. What do you want to guess, buddy? I, did you say I? There is an I. Do you have a guess, Aiden? What's the last letter of your name?
A.
The last letter of your name, A-Y-D-E.
A.
N, yes! Woo! Awesome. Now, you know what, though, guys? If you hadn't have guessed the letter, we still would have won. You know why? Because there's the cross, there's the nails, there's the sign, but Jesus is not on the cross anymore. He's not on the cross anymore, is he? He's risen. Way to go, guys. All right, you can go... You guys can go sit down now. Thank you for your help. What's that? Can we play it again? How about after church we'll play it again, okay? We talk about things dying, and it's sad, isn't it? You know, when pets die. Caden, have you ever had a pet die?
Yeah.
Yeah, what pet was it? Scooby, was that a dog?
Yeah.
Yeah. When Zach was little, he had a guinea pig named Cuddles. And one day Cuddles didn't wake up. And as messy and as smelly as Cuddles was, Zach was really, really sad. You know, because we get attached to these furry little guys, don't we? We get attached to them. It's even harder when a person dies. How many have lost somebody in their life to physical death over the past couple of years? It's something that affects us all. Death is a reality. You know, in the Bible, in the book of John, chapter 11, before Jesus went to the cross, Jesus had a friend die. A lot of you are familiar with the story. Who can tell me, those of you in Powerhouse, who was Jesus' friend that died? Do you know? Lazarus, that's right. Jesus had a friend named Lazarus. Lazarus' friends and family got a hold of Jesus when Lazarus got sick. And they wanted Jesus to come over because, you see, Jesus healed people. Jesus touched a lot of people and removed their diseases and opened their blind eyes and unstopped their deaf ears. And they thought that he would come and make Lazarus well. But when Jesus got the news that Lazarus was sick, he didn't go right away. He waited. Waited 4 days before he went. I'm going to read a little bit out of John chapter 11 to hear what happened. So after 4 days, Jesus went to Lazarus' village, and it says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Then Jesus asked us a question. He asked Martha a question, but the question goes out to all of us. The question was, do you believe this? Do you believe that he who believes in Jesus will never die? Jesus said he is the resurrection and the life. Now, some of you know what happened next in the story. All right, they went to the tomb where Lazarus was buried. He'd been there for 4 days, and Jesus said, now, their tombs back then, they weren't like holes in the ground where they covered the coffins with dirt. They were like caves. And they had put Lazarus in this tomb, in this cave, and they'd rolled a big stone over the opening. And Jesus says, I want you to roll that stone away from the opening. And people objected. They didn't want to do it. I like how the King James Bible says it. Somebody said, well, Lord, it's been 4 days. He stinketh. And Jesus said, no, roll that stone away. Because Jesus had something he wanted to show us. So they rolled the stone away, and lo and behold, out came Lazarus, all wrapped up in linen grave cloths, looking like a mummy, but he was walking. He was fully upright. He was fully conscious. He was dead, and now he was alive. Jesus was showing us that he had power over life and death. Now, Jesus could have just started going to cemeteries. Wouldn't that have been cool? You know, Jesus could have did like a world cemetery tour. You know, Jesus is coming to town, guys. Bring your shovels. Meet at the cemetery. You're going to get to see Grandpa. But why didn't he? If Jesus could raise dead people, why wouldn't he do that? Why wouldn't he just start raising everybody from the dead? Well, for one thing, people keep dying. He couldn't even have gone through the whole Middle East and raised people and keep up with the rush. God had bigger plans than just raising people one by one by one. And furthermore, when Lazarus was raised, what happened to Lazarus after he was raised from the dead? What happened through the rest of his life? He got old, probably got sick, and he eventually died again. Jesus raised Lazarus to go on resuming living a normal human life. And God had bigger plans for us than just living a normal human life. Jesus' work and his plan was to make forever life available to all of us. The Bible calls it eternal life. But before he could do that, he had to solve a big problem. Okay, we got a big problem, and it's called sin. We got a sin problem. And it's a problem that affects everybody on the planet. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. We've all got a sin problem, and Jesus had to solve that sin problem. Now, if I ask you what sin is, you might start listing individual sins. Well, sin is lying. Yeah. Sin is stealing. Yeah. Let's get a definition for what sin is. A real easy definition, the way I remember sin, is simply sin is doing things our way instead of God's way. If I do things my way instead of God's way, that's sin. Stealing is sin because stealing isn't God's way. Lying is sin because lying isn't God's way. God's way is the way of truth and honesty. So lying is sin. Anything that we do according to our way instead of God's way is sin. Remember a moment ago when I said that death is eternal conscious separation from God? Well, it's sin that causes death. Sin causes that separation from God. And look, think about it for a minute. And I'm talking to the adults now. Think about sin in your life. Doesn't sin kill stuff? Sin kills stuff. It kills joy. It kills peace. It kills relationships. I mean, think about it. Pride, resentment, lust, dishonesty. Every sin we can think of is destructive and it kills things. That's why sin is so serious. That's why sin is a crime. That's why our sin is so serious. And you could say, well, there are a lot of people worse than me. Yeah, I've done some bad things, but I'm not nearly as bad as so-and-so. I'm not nearly as wicked as that person over there. But it doesn't really matter because you know who we're comparing to? We don't compare to one another. We have to look at our sin in light of a holy, perfect God. God is perfect. And our sin to Him is very, very serious because it's our sin that like I said, kills things. It causes destruction. It's sin that brought decay into the world. Sin brought illness into the world. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that if you're sick, you sinned. But it was sin that started things a-dying. It's sin. Sin is the reason we have disease and suffering. And I know some of you are suffering right now with disease. And God loves you and God hates the sin that was the original inception of disease at the creation, near the creation of the world. Sin is so serious to God. Sin is a crime before God. And if my sin personally is serious, how much more serious is the sin of the entire planet, the entire race of mankind? It's that serious. Sin is more than just making mistakes. Sin is, the Bible says sin is a crime. How many of you have committed a crime? Be honest. How many of you have committed a crime? Even a little crime. Have any of you guys like had an overdue library book? Yeah? You ever have to pay a library fine? That's a crime. Doesn't seem like it's that serious, but it's a crime. And because it's a crime, we have to pay a fine. What's that called? That's called justice. And that's true of little sins and big sins. When sin is committed, justice has to be accomplished. That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why Jesus had to die, to accomplish justice, to pay. Jesus was the only person who could provide and be punished big enough to solve the problem of sin for the whole human race. Now, in case you don't know it, and I'm guessing all of you do, you know, I'm guessing most of you at least are entertaining the idea that Jesus is God. Jesus is specifically the Son of God. He was eternally with God the Father from before time began. Jesus was God and He became a man and He lived on the earth for 33 years. Jesus lived and walked this earth. He lived a life like many of us for 33 years and He did miracles. He proved that He was the Son of God by doing things like raising Lazarus from the dead. But He also told us the truth about God and what it means to know God and what it means to have the sin problem solved. And before Jesus left the earth, He did something that's horrible to think about. It's horrible. It would have been horrible to witness. It would have been terrifying. Jesus suffered and died as a punishment for our sins. He didn't do anything wrong. He was without sin. But He took our punishment for Him. Now, like I said, Jesus came to not only perform miracles, He came to speak the truth. And a lot of people hated Him because Jesus spoke the truth. Sometimes when you speak the truth, people don't like that. And people hated Jesus for speaking the truth. And a lot of people wanted to kill Him. And you read the Gospels and it really seems like Jesus is playing right into their hands, which He was. He knew they wanted to kill Him, so He let Himself be arrested. He let Himself be apprehended. He let Himself be abused. He let Himself be beaten and hurt. And He stayed silent. Now, how hard is it? Have you guys ever gotten accused of something wrong that you didn't do? Anybody ever said, accuse you of doing something wrong and you didn't do it? Yeah? You want to tell us about it, Joey? No, you don't have to. We've probably all been there. We've been accused of doing something wrong and we didn't do it. How hard is it to sit there and not defend yourself when you're being falsely accused? Yeah, But Jesus stood there all night and let them accuse him and spit on him and beat him and tear his flesh apart with the lash. The Bible says he didn't open his mouth. He didn't defend himself. Then they pronounced him guilty. He didn't do nothing, but they pronounced him guilty. They didn't lock him up. They sentenced him to death. And so they put a heavy cross on his back. See, they sentenced him to die, not execution like we know it today. I certainly wouldn't want to die by lethal injection, but you compare lethal injection to crucifixion, it seems pretty mild and pretty quick. Crucifixion was the slowest, most painful way to die imaginable. The Romans devised it to deter people from committing crimes. It's like, you know, you're not going to want to risk getting crucified. You better toe the line. They sentenced Jesus to death by crucifixion, and they made him pick up a heavy cross, carry it outside of town to a hill called Calvary. They nailed his hands and his feet to the wood with heavy wooden spikes, and they hung him up where everyone could see him. And he hung there for hours in agony. And even while he was hanging there in such pain, people were walking by him, making fun of him, accusing him, just reviling him. You know what Jesus said? He just said, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He hung there for 6 hours. 6 hours with metal spikes through his hands and his feet. At the end of 6 hours, the sky started to grow dark. And at one point, Jesus looked to heaven and he said, "It is finished." And he died. He gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the scripture in the book of Matthew says that there was a great earthquake, that the earth started shaking when Jesus died. It's almost as if the world was sobbing and crying and convulsing at the death of the one that created it. When the earthquake subsided, they took the body of Jesus down from the cross, and they put him in one of those cave tombs, put him in one of those graves. And they rolled a big stone over the front, and they posted some guards in front of it because they wanted to make sure that Jesus' body stayed in the tomb, because they thought that maybe some of Jesus' friends would steal the body. Well, happened on a Friday. Friday night passed, and all was quiet. Saturday came and went, and still all was quiet. But then again, on early Sunday morning, something happened. There was another earthquake. Another earthquake. This time the earth started shaking right there at the tomb. And the scripture says that as the earth was shaking, an angel appeared to these guards. Not an angel like with long blonde hair and pretty little wings, but a fierce-looking, superhero-looking angel dude. He appeared, and it says the guards were so afraid that they literally passed out. They were so afraid of this appearance of this great mighty angel that they fainted in fear. And not long after that, the power of God raised Jesus to life, and Jesus exited the tomb. And he fulfilled what he had said weeks earlier at Lazarus' tomb. He is the resurrection and the life. He went out and he told his followers. He showed himself to them. Not only was he risen, he wasn't wounded. All he had from the horrible torture and execution that he'd gone through were scars on his hands. Now, they were big scars. They were like holes in his hands. They could put a finger in it. He invited some of his disciples to come, "Check these scars out, dude. This is me. This is really me. I'm not an imposter." But he told his followers, he told his 12 followers and then many others, he said, "Go out into the world and tell everybody about me. Tell them that I was dead, now I'm alive, and that everyone who puts their trust in me for the forgiveness of their sins will be saved." And this is what we celebrate today. This is what makes, like somebody, like Zach said earlier, this is what makes Christianity different than every other religious belief or belief system. Our leader was dead and now he is alive. And it's not just a fable. It's not just some legend. It's provable. As an historical event, the resurrection of Jesus is so valid and so provable. A lot of people say, "Oh, it's impossible. Jesus couldn't have risen from the dead. That's just a story that his followers concocted. It's a great story, but it couldn't have really happened. Well, tell me this. I mean, there's many. We could sit here for hours and talk about the evidence, the historical evidence that for Jesus' resurrection. But tell me about those 12 men. These 12 men who went out into the world and spent the rest of their lives, the next 40 years, telling the world that Jesus was dead and now he's alive. They didn't get rich from it. They didn't even seek to get rich from it. They didn't go out and try to get a book deal writing about their time with Jesus. They just went out and told the world, and most of the people they told didn't want to hear the message. Just like they hated Jesus, they hated his followers, and they persecuted them and imprisoned them. And still, they went on telling people that Jesus was alive. They could have retired and lived an easier life by just saying, you know, that whole story about Jesus coming to life, we made it up. But they didn't. They went to their deaths because they claimed that Jesus was alive. How many of you under age 30 know what Watergate is? Okay. Watergate, we remember back in the early 70s, some of the president's closest advisors and cabinet members, they were involved in a crime, a break-in in a hotel to get information. And the authorities found out, and they wanted to bring those men to justice. And they proved that the president knew about this break-in and that laws were broken. One of the men who went to jail because of Watergate, his name was Charles Colson. Goes by Chuck. Chuck Colson. Godly man. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But he went to jail for the Watergate scandal. He and 11 of his associates. And Chuck Colson, while he was in jail, he found out about Jesus. He heard about Jesus. He put his trust in Jesus, and he was born again. He became a follower of Jesus. Chuck Colson has this to say about the resurrection. He says, I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. Then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep a lie for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep a lie for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. See, guys, I'm almost done. Thank you for your patience. You guys have been so good today. But the resurrection of Jesus is what we celebrate today. And Jesus coming to life is what changes everything. It changes everything. He is the resurrection and the life. He rose from the dead so that you and I could live real life. Not just life in heaven. That's the best part, of course. But he wants us to live resurrected real life now. Life is not just about the things we think are important. Life isn't just about our desires and our goals. Life isn't just about surviving and having as much fun or as much experience as we can, or working the kind of career we want, or having the kind of marriage we want. That's not the substance of life. Life is a man who gave himself, a man who has risen. He is the resurrection and the life. And he invites you and me, he invites all of us to put our trust in him. That's what it takes to secure your eternal destiny. That's what it takes to finally come into the understanding of why you were born, why you walk the earth, why you're alive. It's because God created you to know him, and the only way you can know God is through Jesus. He invites you to put your trust in him, to be born again, to live a new life. I heard a wonderful account of a young man who gave himself to Christ just this morning under the freeway as our team preached the gospel down there. And I know there are some of you today, I guess I don't know, I suspect it could be true that there are some here today who have never put their trust in Jesus. I'm really thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that you're listening to this. I'm thankful that you're willing to look at the Bible, even for a few moments, to see what God says about himself. And this is what God says about himself. His Son is the resurrection and the life, and eternal life is to know him. He says, if you'll put your trust in him, if you'll believe and confess with your mouth, that means speak it with your words, that He is Lord and that Jesus was raised from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. I'm going to ask Zach to come up here and in a moment we're just going to close, sing a final song together. But this resurrection morning, what a better time for you if you're sitting on the fence and you have not made that decision to confess Him as Lord and believe in what He did on the cross for you, that your sins might be paid for, what He that you could live a new life. What a perfect morning to put your trust in Christ. You know, there's no magical incantation that you can say. You know, I'm going on and off here. There's nothing that I or anybody else can do to get you saved. It's a conversation you have to have with God. You can say something very simply. You can say, God, I confess to you, I am a sinner. I've sinned. I've broken your holy laws. And before you, God, I've tried to be good, but I'm not. And yet I believe, Lord Jesus, that you did something for me so that my sins could be paid for. I believe you suffered and died so that my penalty could be paid in full. And that I could be assured of eternal life and I could live a new life. Today, Lord Jesus, I'm going to recognize you as my Lord. And I'm going to follow you. Help me to change. Help me to live new each day. Have that conversation with the Lord. Talk with Him. If you are here today with someone who is a born-again follower of Christ and you need to ask them about it, if you've got questions, don't hesitate to talk to them. Come talk to me. Talk to Zach. Talk to one of our elders, one of our leaders. But don't let this just pass as another holiday, another observance, without being made new, without having your sins forgiven. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the moments we've been able to share together today. I thank you for the life that Jesus suffered and died to give us. Thank you for His resurrecting life. In Jesus' name.